Now, our family always has a couple read-alouds going on. We usually have a mama book, a papa book, and a family book. And we read aloud depending on what parent is in charge or if both of us are in charge. That's what's going on at bedtime or sometimes during the day. And one of our favorite family read-alouds recently has been a fabulous series about a family called the Penderwicks. And the first series, there's four sisters, reminiscent of Little Women, but modernized. These women have passions for science and soccer. They're very active and engaging young women. Now, the most recent book was published this past spring. And the father in the family is a biologist, and he's constantly spouting Latin phrases at his offspring, who receive them in due course. In the fourth book, The Penderwicks in Spring, their family friend, Jeffrey, adopts a Latin motto with help from the father. And the motto is ultimately adopted by the younger sister, Batty. Musica anima mea est, music is my life. For Jeffrey, this motto helps guide him through adolescent romantic struggles, helps keep his vision on his passion, and away from distraction, away from those who don't support his gifts and his sense of direction in life. And for Batty, the same motto at a younger age helps inspire her to push through her insecurities, to seek opportunities for learning and performance, and the motto gains her a mentor. In the fifth and final book, The Penderwicks at Last, the very youngest daughter, Lydia, is 11 years old, and she is in search of her own motto. She explores several, and at the end of the novel, she adopts this motto, Ad fatum meum salto, I dance to my destiny. Dance is going to be her medium, her solace, her guiding passion. My own kids were inspired by these mottos and now have mottos of their own. Tobias, always curious and interested in learning how things work, has adopted this, intelligere et explorare, understand and find out. Matea, always crafting, reading, and dreaming up stories, has adopted this motto, creare et meditatsi, create and imagine. Meditatsi also reflects the Latin root of the word meditation, which I also find fascinating. Imagination and prayer are closely rooted. My own undergraduate university, Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, had a Latin motto too. Cor Deum meum offero, prompte et sincere. My heart I offer, Lord, promptly and sincerely. Latin adds a certain gravitas, of course, to a motto. But it doesn't have to be in Latin. Most businesses and nonprofits have mottos or bylines or vision statements that can be summarized in a few words. Nike, just do it. KFC, it's finger-licking good. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Subway, eat fresh. De Beers, a diamond is forever. For everything else, there's MasterCard. These mottos attempt to get at the heart of a brand identity, help inspire confidence and connection with the brand. And for consumers, these function often at a subconscious level. But for those within an organization, these bylines or mottos are carefully chosen and function very consciously to direct advertising and organizational culture. So I was struck by Eugene Peterson's translation of today's text from Jeremiah 33:14-16. He uses the word motto. Watch for this, the time is coming, God's decree, when I will keep the promise to the families of Israel and Judah. When that time comes, I will make a fresh and true shoot sprout from the David tree. He will run this country honestly and fairly. He will set things right. That's when Judah will be secure and Jerusalem live in safety. And the motto for the city will be, God has set things right for us. The motto for the city shall be, God has set things right for us. And if I were to put it into Latin just for fun with Google Translate, it would be, Quod Dominus Justus Nostra. Sounds significant. In German, using the same method, it would be Der Herr ist unsere Gerechtigkeit. The Dutch is similar. Der Herr ist uns Gerechtigkeit. In French, Le Seigneur est notre justice. In Spanish, El Señor es nuestra justicia. In Hebrew, Yahweh Tzedkera. Or, as the NRSV puts it in English, the Lord is our righteousness. That's our theme for the season of Advent, with an accompanying question. What does good look like? What does that mean? What does it look like? What did it mean for the prophet Jeremiah? What might it mean for us to live out this motto? The prophet Jeremiah spoke this message to Israel at a time when things were not all right for Israel. He spoke at a time when the nation was at an all-time low. Israelite leadership was scattered. They were living as a captive and conquered people in Babylonian captivity. Only a few remained in Jerusalem, and their deportation was inevitable. They were in the last days of Jerusalem as they knew it, and Jeremiah was with them. And they were asking difficult questions like, where is God in the midst of this? Why did such devastation happen? Is God present even here, even now? They were looking inward, acknowledging their weaknesses, how they had strayed from God's ways, and wishing they had done better. The signs and words that Jeremiah proclaims in these few verses are daring. He proclaims to them a return of the kingship, a restoration of David's monarchy and of worship in the temple. And it comes one chapter after he has done something else pretty daring. In chapter 32, just before these verses, Jeremiah is told by God to go out and buy a field just outside of Jerusalem and keep the deed to the land safe. Economically, that's a bad deal for Jeremiah. They're about to be deported. Everyone is losing their land. They're being exiled. But Jeremiah buys the land with God's message that one day they would buy and sell land again in Israel. They would return. And Jeremiah had a deed that he would sell in that day. It's an achingly hope-filled act in a hopeless time. Holding forth a vision of the return even as the exile is underway. Holding forth a vision that the people could return to God's ways, even as they're experiencing harsh consequences for straying from the path of righteousness. Even though Jeremiah himself was prophesying that this exile would be long and thorough, Jeremiah, ever the faithful prophet, did not offer easy answers. He didn't lie. He didn't paint false hope. But he did proclaim God's deep commitment to the people and the promise that hope exists, that God's righteousness will dwell with them, that they will be known by God's own justice and peace, that this will one day be their life, their motto. We know hopeless times. We know loss. We know regret. We know shame. What does it mean when all the chips are down to live in confidence that God will restore, God will return? To look beyond the disaster in front of us towards an as yet unseen good future. This is an Advent kind of question. Does the motto of the city, the motto of a people really, quod dominus justus noster, affect how we look into the future? Or perhaps more significantly, how we might live in our present? If a motto distills our essence, establishes our brand, and helps us maintain focus against distractions, overcome our insecurities, determine our next steps of action, what might it mean to live under the banner, the Lord is our righteousness? Righteousness is a big word. It can be translated in oh so many ways. Rightness, wholeness, salvation, goodness, justice, virtue, morality, nobility. And it's closely associated with another big little word in Scripture, shalom, peace, wholeness. For where there is righteousness, there will also be shalom. I wonder if this little motto in today's verse from Jeremiah gives us a hint of the kind of hope, the kind of future that God is preparing for us, or preparing us for. In the midst of, throughout, and yes, beyond the suffering and pain and shame and regret of the now. In Jeremiah's verses, this is the motto of the whole city, the restored Jerusalem. What would it mean for a whole people to live by God's justice, God's righteousness? Wouldn't these people truly be full of hope, peace, joy, love? Wouldn't the widows and orphans be cared for, the aliens given just treatment, the land be whole and love the norm? Wouldn't business be just? Wouldn't there be peace at home and on the street? Isn't this vision worth waiting for, worth being true to? I think that is what Jeremiah is urging the people to do as they leave Jerusalem. He wants them to pledge already now to be ready to rebuild a Jerusalem, to rebuild a people that is built with the motto, "The Lord is our righteousness, God is our justice," and to do that with their whole lives, wherever they are sent, already as they go out into exile. They need to be ready to follow the one that God will send, the shoot from the root of Jesse, the one who will rule justly. We as Christians believe this shoot refers ultimately to the coming of Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the one who embodies God's righteousness, God's justice, and that his kingdom is the promised kingdom, where we will claim that motto, "Quod Dominus Justus Noster," the Lord is our righteousness. It is Jesus who shows us the way, how to make this true in our lives, whose spirit will inhabit us and guides us in the path of peace. Part of truly claiming that motto for ourselves involves acknowledging honestly and plainly the ways in which it is not yet true, how we are not living in a city, how we are not living as a people with that reality. As a culture, it's plain that we don't. God is not our righteousness. Our moral compass in a world where still a quarter of female homicide victims are indigenous, and a third of the female population in prisons are indigenous, while they're less than 5% of the overall population. We don't live in the reality of God as our justice and righteousness when desperate families are seeking a future for their children and are treated instead as criminals and tear-gassed. We don't live in a reality of God as our righteousness when we can see a drama like Church 2 and know that these are current and very real examples, when people can be oppressed, marginalized, victimized, traumatized, and so deeply wounded because of their gender or sexual identity. The Me Too movement has highlighted that violence against women is rampant. Closer to home, within our own communities, we don't live with this motto when we gossip or bicker amongst ourselves, when we exclude people from decision-making, when we put ourselves as the bottom line and others next, when we yell or put down one another in our communities or families, when we allow selfishness or greed to put the big me, myself, and mine in front of the needs of others who might be weaker or somehow different from ourselves, or when we let fear or negativity shape how we think of ourselves, or let the past be so huge in our imaginations that we can't imagine a new future. In all these, we show our need to live by a better motto, with bigger trust and hope in God's future. If God truly is our righteousness, if God truly will be our justification for being, our goodness, our moral compass, will we live differently than we do now? The gift that Advent reminds us of is that we don't have to guess entirely what that might look like. We've been given the gift of God made flesh in Jesus. Jeremiah says, "I'll cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land." It's because of Jesus that we have an orientation to what goodness might look like. If we put Jesus at the center of our vision, our motto, righteousness will follow. And what follows will look differently for you than it will for me. but the core would be the same, the goodness that springs from Jesus, an identity shaped by the goodness and love of God. And what follows will look differently for NLUMC than it would for LMUMC, LUMC, or Faith, or Meadowbrook, or a church in Burkina Faso, in India, or Thailand. Because thank goodness, when it's lived out in a life or a community, goodness is going to take on the style of the people who are living it out. But in all these various and beautiful ways, we would look like Jesus. The first byline of this Advent is the motto, "The Lord is our righteousness." The second is an attempt to define it. What does good look like? I believe good looks like Jesus. I believe good looks like aligning our lives more closely to live as Jesus calls us to, individually, in community, and in our culture. And goodness, righteousness, justice, wholeness, these beautiful gifts we aspire to, they follow when we align our lives more closely to Jesus. Quod Dominus Justus Noster, the Lord is our righteousness. Der Herr ist unsere Gerechtigkeit. Le Seigneur est notre justice. El Señor est nuestra justicia. However you phrase it, may this motto shape our lives this Advent and beyond. Amen.